From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Emerging artists for the first couple hours tonight, and then later on, science looks at biblical events. But here's what's happening. If you own bitcoins, and I do not, bitcoin owners are being targeted by hackers. They may lose up to 30% of their money. Gone. The Hong Kong-based company called Bitfinex said it's working to reopen the exchange by tomorrow, but they're not sure. The platform was shut down a week ago after more than $65 million based on the exchange rates of bitcoins were hacked from users' accounts. Simply gone. Dangerous money, folks. Hillary Clinton discussed in emails hosted on her private server that an Iranian nuclear scientist who was executed by Iran for treason was possibly involved with giving information to the United States. Was that why he was executed? According to Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican out of Arkansas, he says, I'm not going to comment on what he may or may not have done for the United States, but he has been executed. And Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton's lead over Republican rival Donald Trump has now narrowed to less than 3 percentage points after being up by 8 to 10 points just a few days ago. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, with us. John, this is a seesaw. What's going on?
Well, I mean, you know, you get out of that convention with the happy tale, the happy story about how wonderful the economy is doing, how wonderful race relations are in the United States, how wonderful, you know, the whole narrative was of the campaign for Hillary. And it's the so-called bounce is beginning to, you know, fade. It's wearing off. On the other hand, you know, before the convention started, Hillary had about a six or seven point lead with Trump. And then by the end of the Republican convention, Trump had about a 3-point lead. I think it's so early on, George. We're, you know, we're still like a good 90 days out from the election. Really, people, you know, we're paying attention. A lot of the punditry, you know, are focused in on this stuff. But the truth is the news cycle right now is pretty dead, and they're having to summons everything. And you think about it is. And you, when you think about, you know, the convention, the Democratic convention, and the, you know, the fallout that, that happened with Kazir Khan and whatever, and you ask yourself if really Trump really did anything in particular that was that significant. It really comes out to he really did almost nothing. The Hillary narrative that comes out of that campaign is a very powerful kind of propaganda. You heard that Trump was dropping out. You heard that Trump isn't fit for office. You heard that Trump is a loose cannon, and all of these statements about him. And pretty much I think we've got a news cycle today with the mainstream media, and I'm talking about cable and network, that are pretty universally, I don't know, maybe, George, that they're just dumb and they don't know how to interpret.
Well, they just love to chase the story, John, whatever it might be.
It is. But the stories are coming from the Hillary campaign, and a good news organization, a good journalist, should be able to ferret out pernicious propaganda from, you know, factual events. When you talk about the Kazir Khan thing, which is something that the Republicans themselves, including John McCain, Lindsey Graham, you know, all of the neocons, and I include Hillary as a neocon also, by the way, all of them just pounced on Trump, saying how disgraceful it is that he attacked a Gold Star family. This con was a paid political hack to destroy Donald Trump at that convention. What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to sit back and, you know, this guy threw himself into the campaign that the day you decide to get up there and flash a pocket constitution and tell Trump didn't have a clue about anything. So he brought it on himself. But when anybody really thinks about, has Trump really gone so ballistic, so AWOL? Is what he's saying so outrageous? I think people have to come back. They're coming back to a little bit of sanity and saying, no, now Hillary.
Well, and they're coming back fast, John. And if the Republicans can rein him in a little bit, then it's going to be a horse race again. John, thank you so much. Onlinecolumnist.com. Three people recovering in a hospital Sunday after thousands of bees escaped in a hive exchange gone wrong in Oklahoma City. A person was selling three beehives. Each contained 10,000 bees One of them was dropped in a Walmart neighborhood market parking lot. Then thousands of bees swarmed into the air, and fire crews rushed to spray water in the area to distract the bees, but they went ballistic. Sad story out of South Carolina. An 11-year-old South Carolina girl hospitalized after contracting a deadly brain-eating amoeba has now died. Hannah Collins. She was swimming in the river just several weeks ago. Can you believe that? She goes swimming in the river, comes down with some brain-eating amoeba, and now she's gone. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has given its support for a biotech company to release genetically modified mosquitoes into the Florida Keys in an effort, they say, to stop the spread of the disease, including Zika. Dr. Gary Ridenour with us. Gary, I don't think this is a smart idea.
No, it's not. I've researched this, and the gene that's being put in there does kill dengue fever. It is never seen to kill Zika. And the problem is, if the mosquito bites you, he may put this new gene into your genome, and they don't know what it'll do to your genetic makeup.
This could be very dangerous, playing around with Mother Nature, don't you think?
They're playing with Mother Nature, and Lancet Medical Journal came out with an exhaustive analysis of the French Polynesia outbreak and said the microcephaly is 1% of the cases.
Jeez, probably end up with a mosquito that just literally swallows people. Legendary Louisiana clarinetist Pete Fountain has died in New Orleans. He was 86 years old. Nobody played the clarinet like Pete Fountain. You know, I've received several emails asking for updates to Art Bell's health situation. Now, Heather Wade hosts Midnight in the Desert. That's a show Art was doing until he got hit with a volley of things, and she is kind enough to come on the air tonight to give us an update on Art's situation. Heather, thank you, first of all, and how's Art doing?
Well, good evening, George. Well, it started out with colitis. He got that early June. And then when he was recovering from that, all of a sudden, he was hit with very, very bad pneumonia.
Oh, jeez.
And then he went to a local hospital, and you'll get a kick out of this. He had to leave that local hospital because they didn't have CNN News or Fox News. So he left that hospital and went to a Las Vegas hospital for about 5 days. They gave him a course of very heavy drugs. They had to punch a hole in his lungs.
Oh, God.
Even, and finally, he was able to go home after the long 5 days in the hospital. And even then, he was still very, very weak. And he started a course of very expensive and very heavy drugs then at home. And very slowly, additionally using oxygen as well, as he needed to, he started to improve. But there for a while, he gave us a big, big scare.
That is scary. And he's had, because he did smoke, and he's told everybody that, he had chronic pulmonary disease. Does he not?
That's right. COPD with pneumonia does not equal a good equation for Art Bell.
No, not at all. So as of right now, Heather, how's he doing?
He's exercising inside the house. It's a little too hot to do that outside where he lives right now. And he's getting stronger, a little bit stronger every day, doing more exercise every day. And he's not entirely 100%, but we can see it from here.
Well, he's in the Coast listeners' prayers and your listener prayers, and give him our best, will you?
I certainly will. I certainly will. And, you know, the credit truly goes to his wife, Erin, for staying by his side to take care of everything that he needed during this really scary time.
That's super. Thanks, Heather. Heather, of course, hosts Midnight in the Desert. Well, a bride was all smiles Saturday as she was escorted down the aisle by the man who received her murdered father's heart. Listen to this story. Jenny Stepien married Paul Manier in Pennsylvania. 10 years after a 16-year-old mugger killed her father, Michael. Well, his organs were donated after he had been on life support for 24 years, and the recipient of his heart was Arthur Thomas of New Jersey, who walked her down the aisle. That is an amazing story. Up next, the Buddha made me do it. I'm not going to say anything else until we come right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Noor. You know what started as a search for a decorative Buddha statuette leads Marla Martinson to a spiritual journey that you're going to hear all about, and some of it has been dabbling in the paranormal. Marla, of course, is the Beverly Hills matchmaker, noted author, of course. She lives in Hollywood with her husband, composer Adolfo Jean Alexi. I know John very well, by the way. He's a great guy and a super, super pianist. He's plays at a well-known steakhouse in the Beverly Hills area, by the way. Marla is an author, motivational speaker, very passionate about what she does. And so beyond matchmaking people, how in the world did you get involved in dabbling in the unusual and the paranormal?
Hi, George.
Hello there.
Yes, the Buddha made me do it. Yeah, I've been a matchmaker for 15 years, and that's my bread and butter. That's my occupation, but I've always had this fascination with the paranormal, with ghosts, with, you know, since I was a kid, I loved Halloween and witches. Coast to Coast is my favorite show, and I like watching the ghost shows and the UFO shows. It's just always been a passion, and always been kind of on a spiritual journey, a lot of the law of attraction stuff. And now it's been, gosh, I guess almost 3 years ago, my friend Julie and I started taking classes at a place called the Imagine Center in Tarzana. Huh. And we started learning how to call in our guides, create abundance. There was a class on crystal healing. And then Julie and I kind of got hooked, and we went all over Los Angeles taking classes on pendulums, candle magic, breath work, going to see channelers and psychics. And we started just going kind of a little berserk.
You just
here.
Kept going.
We just kept going, right? And we were having a blast. And then Julie, who is a celebrity ghostwriter, very talented, she said, Marla, why don't we write about our journey? All these things that we're trying, people might think this is interesting and want to try it too. She originally was going to write the book with me. She ended up not, but she's one of the stars in it. So I did it on my own. And it's my favorite book so far. It's a spiritual odyssey.
You've been on our program before talking, of course, about your other works and how you've helped people. This time, you're helping yourself, aren't you?
I am. Hey, that's great. I love that, because my work as a matchmaker, even though I'm passionate about it and I love it, it can be a bit shallow, right? These rich guys who want the perfect woman and the women who want the rich men, and it can get a little challenging and stressful for me. And so I think to balance that out, I started delving into the spiritual side a lot more, kind of dipping my toe a little deeper.
How close did you get to the dark side of the paranormal? Because there is a dark side out there.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I never went looking for anything dark, but I became a crystal healer. I got certified, started doing that. That was really fun. So I wanted to add to that. So I became a Reiki healer, and then I became a Reiki master, and I started getting these attunements and started being able to open up my channel and connect with some spirits on the other side.
Sure.
And as you know, one of your frequent guests, Karen Dahlman, who
Miss Ouija board,
I started using the board.
Julie and I started using the board.
She brought over.
Did Karen talk you into that?
No, listen to how I met Karen. So Julie brought a board over to my house, a couple of boards, and she says, hey, let's try this. Neither of us had ever tried it. It wasn't a Ouija. It was just a board, you know, a talking board with the letters on it.
Yeah.
And we lit the stage. We put candles, and we put the little saints, and we said our little prayers and all that. And we didn't even think anything would happen. And we had this little planchette, and it moved. George, it moved. And at first, the first spirit that came in, we said, who are you? And it spelled S-E-C-R-E-T, secret.
Ooh.
Secret spirit. We said, well, who are you? And so he says, and we said, what do you do?
Dangerous game.
He goes, watching. So you're watching us? And then we said, are you evil? It said, no. And we said, do you love us? And it said, yes. And we said, will you tell us your name? And it said, for me. So we're like, all right, well, that was pretty interesting. So the next time she came over, secret spirit came back on. So he figured, okay, this guy, or it felt like a male energy.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be a regular. And but then halfway through, it's kind of switched and somebody else came on. We said, who are you? And it's spelled A-N-G-E-L. Angel. Said, Angel, you're an angel? And it said, yes.
No, it could have been somebody who was Hispanic. Right?
Angel Gonzalez.
That's right.
Yes. So that was the start of me connecting with my angel. So then I tried to use the board on my own, and I couldn't because my energy was not high enough. At that point, I hadn't had the attunements.
I'm telling you, that's dangerous.
So
dabbling with that.
Then I thought, I really wish I knew somebody else besides Julie that uses the board. And I was thinking about this, and then I was watching your show, Beyond Belief, which I was a guest on.
Yes,
so I love that.
And people can still watch that.
Yeah,
it's
they can
back
still,
there in the archives.
They can. So I was watching that show, and I said, oh, I saw Ouijologist Karen Dahlman, and then the description, I said, oh, hell yes, this is who I need to talk to. So I Facebooked her, and she was so gracious, and we Skyped right away, and we chit-chatted, and we became great friends, along with Linda Salvin, who also has been on your show, and she uses
good
the board,
people.
Then Linda Deer, who's, I think, been on the show, and she has a board, and she, so I got to be friends with these amazing ladies, and realized that I'm not crazy. Here are successful, accomplished women, mature women who are using the board. And
well, I got to tell you, I ran into your husband last night. Listen to this. On my one night off, and he pulls me aside.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And, let's not tell him this. I'm sure he's
I hope
listening.
He's not listening.
And he said, you've got to save Marla. And I said, what do you mean? I've got to say.
Uh-oh, he's in trouble. He's so in trouble tonight.
He said, shh, don't let her go too far to the other side. Just please don't let her go too far to the other side. I said, Adolfo, don't worry. I won't do that. I thought he was going to just talk about your appearance on the show today. He is really worried.
I know
that you're dabbling on the wrong side of this stuff.
He cracks me up. All right, so
I just want you to know that
he was looking up. He was looking up voodoo, history of voodoo on the internet, and I'm like, I don't have anything to do with that. You know, I'm like, I don't know what that is. All right, so
you meet up with Karen.
So I meet up
meet up with Linda Salvin.
Linda Salvin, and Linda lives near me, so I can just shoot on over to her place, and we can jump on the board together, and we get great messages.
Oh.
So
I'm telling you, one day he's going to be on the air with me saying she's possessed. She's not the same Marla. I knew something's wrong with her. Watch. You got to be careful with that stuff.
All right. I know, because when I saw...
I'm going to take calls next hour with you. And for people who have dabbled with the Ouija board, they can share some of their stories.
All right.
Karen's
That's
a good Ouija board. Ouija boards are fun.
It's not the board. It's the energy of the person. But I know when Karen was on the show with you on Beyond Belief, you were scared. She's like, hey, George, you want to try it? You're like, not on my life.
Marla, I don't know if you heard this show, because this was years ago on Coast to Coast, but I was going to do a Ouija board experiment. I had three guests. Each one, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Jordan Maxwell, and Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Each one had a different view on the use of the Ouija board. Rosemary said, go ahead, let's do it. This will be fun. Bruce Goldberg said, I don't know what I want to do. And Jordan Maxwell said, if you do it, that's how he talks, by the way, if you do it, I'm walking off this set. I'm getting off the air. I decided not to do it because I was concerned about people listening to the show, that something could happen to them. I wasn't concerned about me. I feel like I'm illuminated in light anyway. And I started getting messages from people who were so ticked off that I canceled the program. They said, you've ruined my pizza party. How could you do that to me? But I made a decision a long time ago that the Ouija board for me and for our listeners is not worth experimenting on. I mean, there have been nights I've wanted to have a Ouija board expert on, like Karen, in the studio with the Ouija board. I've had bad experiences in the past when I was doing local shows in St. Louis. I'm not going there anymore. So I'm just I'm just warning you.
That's
and we're gonna hit a break. I want to come back and talk about how you came up with the title, The Buddha Made Me Do It. And then we're going to talk about some of these experiences. But really, I want you to be careful. Hey, August 27th, I'm going to be down south. I'm going to be in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, where there are now only, drum roll please, Nathan, 39 seats left on the bottom. Then the rest go to the balcony, which is not bad. You'll still see me bring a binocular, but you'll still see me. But no, 39 seats left on the bottom level. And you can get those seats by going to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and find your own seats. But look for the date, August 27th, because that takes you into the website of the theater. Executive producer Tom Danheiser putting the show together, jumping up and down in his little studio here in L.A. saying, you don't need binoculars up in the balcony. No, Tom, you don't. Only a telescope. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Marla Martinson. I was going to introduce you again as the matchmaker, but this one's different tonight, isn't it?
This one's different, and now you can say Reiki Master Crystal Healer.
And Fighter of the Dark Side. The Buddha Made Me Do It. Tell me about that title.
Okay, the title... All right. Now, this, you guys, this was a very interesting break, too, you know, in between, because Adolfo's here tonight. So
yes, he is. Adolfo being your husband.
Yeah, Adolfo being my husband.
The piano player.
The piano player and the guy who's afraid of all this stuff. So we bought a house.
Wait a minute. Okay. He's afraid of it for you.
Yeah.
Not
come
himself.
On. I'm a grown woman.
It's
I
not like
take
he runs away going, oh, my God, evil spirit. He's afraid of it for you. He thinks you're going to get involved in something too dark.
He's an overreactive guy. He's very sensitive.
You're going to have an interesting drive home after the show.
Oh, my God. All right,
but The Buddha Made
Me
Do It.
That's
the name of your book. How'd you get that?
The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. So we bought a house, and I was purging. I was trying to get rid of knickknacks, chucherias, as Adolfo
would say. You mean people left stuff in the house?
No, I was just, you know how when you move, you kind of want to purge things?
Your stuff.
My stuff. I was purging some stuff, and I had this little Buddha statuette that somebody had given me. It was mine. Adolfo said it was both of ours, but it was really mine. And for some reason, I felt like donated it to the Goodwill. I don't know. I just had too many tchotchkes, right?
Yeah.
And so, of course, Adolfo never asked about that Buddha until I gave it away. Marla.
Literally, you gave it away. What's
wrong? I gave it away. I gave it to the Goodwill. And then, of course, the next day, he's like, hey, where's that Buddha? And then, of course, Adolfo.
I know
so
Adolfo.
You don't want to tell him what really happened. So I said, he's intense. I'm sure it's packed away in the garage from the move. I'll go find it. And so, of course, I hop in my car and I'm driving all over the City of Angels, stopping it. Well, first I go over to the Goodwill to try to see if I can get it back. And it's not there. So I start driving to all these little metaphysical shops. I'll just replace it because I've seen them all over town, that same Buddha. Of course, I couldn't find one. I tried for a week and every day, have you found that Buddha yet? No, honey, I'm sure it's packed up. I'm looking. couldn't find it. But so finally one day I said, okay, I'm giving up, but I'm just going to see if there's one more metaphysical shop in LA that I haven't found yet. And I Googled and I found a place called the Imagine Center in Tarzana. It's a metaphysical shop, retail shop, and they have classes and everything. I look in there, a beautiful little shop, no Buddhas whatsoever. But the gal there gave me a flyer and said, we have classes here, and they had $15 classes and on abundance and connecting with your guides and crystals. And I called up Julie and I said, hey, Julie, I couldn't find a Buddha, but hey, this place looks like it's fun to take classes. You want to take classes with me? So Julie and I started taking classes, and that was the beginning of our whole journey. So therefore, the Buddha made me do it. If it wasn't for that discarded Buddha,
and did you ever find,
I would not be here talking about
did
this.
Did you ever find a Buddha?
Never did. And Adolfo gave up asking, but now it's going to be an even more interesting ride home.
Well, you know how I found Adolfo. I might as well tell you. He plays at Wolfgang's on Cannon.
Wolfgang's Steakhouse.
He's a great musician. Great musician. Well, he's got a fishbowl of money on the piano that people tip him, and they drop it in this little bowl.
Right.
Well, I'm leaving, you know, and just briefly was introduced to him, but I'm leaving for the night. And I thought as a gag, I would reach into the fishbowl and grab a 20 and just like pretend I'm leaving.
Yes.
He didn't think that was funny. And so I came back, put the money in. Well, he almost did.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I told him, hey, and this is who I am, and da-da-da. And he started laughing and said, I listened to your show. And I said, this was just a
joke.
That
might have been at Mastro's because we've known you a long time.
No, it wasn't there.
Oh,
it
that
was
wasn't?
At Wolfgang's.
Okay, you were.
He was the weekend guy at Mastro's sometimes and the fill-in guy.
But,
and so we laughed about that, but that's how I got to know him. That's not a paranormal story, but what the heck.
But it's out of this world.
Okay, so in dealing with all of this, and specifically the Ouija board, what have you learned?
Well, you know, okay, I did have some dealings with some low entities, low energy. Do you want to hear about that? And
yeah.
Then that might take. Okay.
Okay.
So what happened was I started going to a lot of different events. I went to Paul Selig. He's been on your show.
These are great, great researchers.
Oh, yeah. Great people. I mean, so I went to one of his weekend
seminars,
and the guides taught the class. So there's a lot of people there. I went to see Bashar, you know, Daryl Anka. I went to a lot of things. And so when you go to these things, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of spirits and other, you know, entities and stuff there from all the people there and what is being called in and stuff, plus healing people, plus jumping on different boards, all these things. So I'm doing all this stuff, right? And I'm trying to clear myself and I say my protection and stuff. But I noticed a hardness in my solar plexus for months. And I thought, what in the heck is that? It was not normal. I felt a pain in my arm. I just didn't feel right. And then one night I felt something and I was trying to channel. I wanted to be like Bashar and be like Paul, right? And I felt this energy I was in bed. I felt this energy come through my crown chakra, the top of my head, and it came inside me and paralyzed me. And I thought, man, somebody's trying to channel. Maybe it's a ET or something trying to come through. So first I was excited. And then I felt that energy was not good. And I was scared. I said, get out, get out, get out in my head, get out, get out. You got to get out. And it got out. And then I ended up going for a clearing session with Goddess Tahita, who owns the Imagine Center. She's a very powerful healer, a fantastic woman. And she gave me a session, just a clearing, because the Imagine Center was expanding. And she did that for all of the people on the healing team as a gift. And we sat down. She goes, how are you? And I says, well, I'm good. But I've had, you know, like this hardness in my solar plexus. I'm kind of constipated. I just didn't feel right. I said, maybe I've got some...
Too much information.
Well, maybe I've got some... I thought maybe I had a... what do you call it? You know, from... Well, I'm a vegan. I eat a lot of vegetables. You know,
we get the picture.
No, but you can get a parasite or something. I thought maybe I have a parasite, and then she goes,
an evil parasite.
You've got low energy. You've got an infiltration. I said that's what I thought. Parasites, huh? She goes, no, low energy infiltrations.
Were you possessed?
Like, what? Holy guacamole! Am I possessed? And so I get on the table, and she said, I had six. And then she says, I have eight. And then she said, I have 10.
Entities were taking over from
they
you?
Were lower vibrational entities.
They're the worst kind.
And so she cleared them out. But I told her about the crown chakra. She says they come through the crown chakra and they block the root chakra. And that's why I had such a hard
time. How did they find you? The Ouija board.
Well, she said, have you been, I hear from the guides that you're using a board.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you have to cleanse it.
See?
But I had jumped on a random board at a shop up in Agoura Hills. I jumped on some random boards. And also, she had said, okay, so then she cleared them out. Then I was in bed again.
She did get rid of them.
Got rid of them. And I felt I felt so much better afterwards. My stomach didn't hurt anymore, my arm, everything. So then I went home. And then a couple nights later, I felt that it came back in through the crown chakra again. And I was like, that is it. I said, get out. I called in Archangel Michael. I called in Jesus. I went into my sanctuary. I got a crucifix. I got my sage. I saged the whole house. I had my, all my, you know, little crystals and statue of Jesus and everything. And I said, get out, get out. And then they left. And then I went back to Tahita. And then she said, I said, how did they find me if you removed them? And she says there were still some fragments in the bedroom they wanted to reattach. And she says, you know what, Marla? She goes, actually, this is good that this happened to you as a healer, because now you know what it feels like.
I was telling you, this is a dangerous situation,
Marla. But George, so imagine, look, I'll bet that so many people walking around have some low vibrational attachments. I mean, look at the 405 freeway, people, you know, road rage, people are angry. Look at the state the world's in. People pick up low energies. So we've got to know how to protect ourselves, and we've got to clear ourselves. It's not just a Ouija board.
I want to ask Adolfo a question. Tom, can you bring Adolfo in here?
Bring him in here.
You're going to put him up on your mic there? Okay, you'll do that. Because I want to ask him a specific question about this. And Adolfo,
hi there.
What are you trying to do to me, George?
Okay, let me ask you a couple quick questions.
Sure.
What are you concerned about with Marla dabbling in the paranormal like this? Because you were pretty concerned last night when I ran into you, and you even look more concerned now.
I'm concerned that she believes everybody or the majority, and there's a lot of fakes out there. There's few that are real. There's a lot of people charging money, ripping off. You know, they're charging money like an angelic reading. And it's not accurate. Like a friend of hers did that to me, and it's just not even one.
Are you concerned, though, that something could happen to her physically or psychically?
I think so, yes. I think that if you're constantly way too much on that in that corner, it can affect your internal energy, it takes you away from reality.
Do you think she's going too far?
It's gone too far, my opinion, yes. I think she's very good. She's a good healer. I mean, she's very good with Reiki. She's an amazing person. I love her deeply. It's my wife. I'm concerned when people they tell you things that are not true or they.
Well, you've got to be careful with that. But if things fall apart between you and Marla, you can call her as the Beverly Hills matchmaker, and she can find somebody for you.
Well,
I'll find him a skeptic.
The thing is, she's so good in what she does, and I think that if you just overdo it, can affect you.
Are you at this point right now? You think she's gone too far?
I think she's gone a little too far, and that she was. I noticed when she had the pain, and she told me about these entities, and I was worried. And of course, I'm living with her, and then she's telling you this.
Right.
And I told her, be careful with the Ouija board. You know, don't play
with
that.
Well, that's good advice.
Don't play with that.
That's good advice. Okay, thanks, Adolfo. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, George.
So there you go. There you go. We just bring you the truth here, Marla. So
I'm going to kill you.
I feel like Jerry Springer.
I know. What's going on? I've never seen this format before.
I've changed it a little bit. I've tweaked it. And we're going to have couples come in on a regular
couples
basis
therapy.
And destroy their marriage.
Paranormal. You have paranormal dating.
Okay.
Now you're going to have couples therapy.
He's concerned about this.
But
warned you when you came in. And I think you think it's fun, and you have to be careful.
Do you warn Karen, too, and Linda?
But Karen won't listen to me.
No.
We go at it.
Okay,
she'll call.
Good.
I'll meet her at events. We go at it.
Oh, good. I didn't want to think I was just the only one being picked
on. She will stand by the Ouija board until it's her last day.
Yes, because it is fun, and we have only
had
good...
And the devil will come and take her, and it'll be history for her.
It's a piece of cardboard. It's very interesting how, it's Hollywood that made people think that this is dangerous, that people were using it in the 1800s.
Wait till you get phone calls from people who have used the Ouija board. You'll see.
All right,
that's
Karen and I
Hollywood.
Always say, nobody's going to change our mind. Well, we've never had any of those crazy experiences. People will say, something flew across the room, or the candle went out, or something happened. Nothing's happened that with us.
On something a little more enlightening, you're in touch now because of some of this with your guardian angels, aren't you?
In touch with
your guardian angel.
I am in touch with the angels, and I'm very light, and I'm very positive, and I'm always happy, and I have a great business. I attract wonderful things and wonderful people, and I'm not dabbling in anything dark. And I talk to the angels, and I do my meditation and my healings. And Adolfo, I don't know why Adolfo's so, I don't know if it's his Catholic upbringing or what, but he's exaggerating because
I'd be concerned if I were him.
I'm so busy with my business. I'm not even doing anything every day. I'm not on the board every day. I have my YouTube show where I interview experts, Cosmic Conversations. So I interview a lot of people, psychics, channelers.
Well, there's nothing wrong with
that. Well, he thinks I'm mingling with them, and he doesn't believe that any of them are real. So that's where it's a little, I think he's kind of upset about that.
Well,
it's, hey, you know, 15 years married, we certainly have our differences, but, you know.
Well, I hope I didn't put you on the spot.
I think if I get a divorce, George, I'm sending you the lawyer bill.
Yeah, thanks a lot. No, I don't think, I think he's deeply in love with you.
He is.
You're not going to get a divorce. Here's the problem, though. You may change into some possessed demon woman.
Oh, God. I haven't yet. It's been like three years.
Let me tell you something.
Changed.
You're a happy-go-lucky person.
Yes.
You are very good at what you do in business. And this is a great book, The Buddha Made Me Do It.
It's all in there, everything that happened to me.
I am told by some experts that people who get possessed want to be possessed. They invite this in. I don't see that coming from you.
I don't want to be possessed.
You're not that kind of person. You're not that kind of person who gets depressed or gets drunk and, you know, brings in or, you know, you have your guard down.
That's a good point, George, because if people are playing with the board as a game and they're drinking or using drugs or they're, you know, it's a sacred tool. As Karen would put it, you don't play like a game like that. And you there's a whole protocol. I mean, you have to, if you're speaking on the other side, you've got to welcome them. You have to close the session and say goodbye and thank them and close properly. It's not just a haphazard game where you're saying, hey, you know, answer me, come on in, and you're drunk or something. That's not good. That's not a good idea. And you can get some lower energies, just like spamming your email. You don't want to click on every link.
You've called them hitchhikers, these lower energy people.
Hitchhikers, yeah. Or maybe I have.
They jump on board.
Yeah, they jump on board. You don't just let a stranger into your home. You don't let a stranger, you know, if you caller ID, you don't recognize the number, you don't pick up. Same with the board. You don't have to talk to everybody. If something funny seems, you know, comes on and you think it's lower, you say, leave right now. And they're going to get out of there.
Well, my recommendation is leave it alone. Why do you need to use it?
Well, once you, George, you don't know how exciting it is. So, it's like,
I've had a board before. I used it once. It almost destroyed a radio program I had in St. Louis. It shut down computers.
Just once?
And out it went.
After once?
We gave it to the news guy.
Great.
His name was Daryl. My producer, Howard Morton at the time, gave it to Daryl because I said, Howard, get this thing out of here now. He gives it to poor Daryl. 2 days later, Daryl gets fired. Uh-huh. And then we run into Daryl about a year later. His marriage fell apart. Everything was bad until he realized it was the Ouija board. He got rid of it, uh-huh, and things got better for him.
What did he do? Did he burn it? Did he bury it? What did he do?
He just threw it away. You should burn it.
I don't know.
Burn it is what you should do.
Really? You seem to know a lot about it, Jim.
Well, I do. I'm an expert on the Ouija board. That's why you're on the program. But look, you've got one thing going for you. One big thing. An enlightened person. You're not an evil person.
Well, no, I'm not. But I might turn evil after that you've done to me tonight.
It's happening. I can tell. Where do you get the book, The Buddha Made Me Do It?
Amazon. Or you can go to my website, marlamartinson.com. But
spell
it's on Amazon.
Spell your last name. I mean, we got the link for you on our website.
Marla, M-A-R-L-A, Martinson, MARTENSON.com. And all the information's there. And then the book is on Amazon in Kindle and paperback.
Okay, we're going to take phone calls with Marla next. You can have questions or also share stories if you have used the Ouija board. So do that, and don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We had a milestone on Facebook. We went over 400,000 likes about a week ago, so keep going. Here's our next emerging artist, the Stringbenders. The song is Angel-Eyed Jane, and they are from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Take a listen.